is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. You are listening to Monday Night Talk, and as we await our first guest, Holly Robichaud should be joining us any moment to talk a little bit about her article that she had today in the Boston Herald. Just a first and foremost, Joe, what do you think about a graduated income tax? How do you feel about that?
Well, to be honest with you, Kevin, I don't know.
Don't be honest. See, automatically, I think you're lying. Tell me what you really think.
What I really think is that I don't know enough about the subject to comment on it.
Well, that's good, because we actually have somebody who wrote an article in the Boston Herald today. We have Holly Robichaud joining us. So first and foremost, how are you today, Holly?
Well, pretty excited about, I saved about $10 billion for the taxpayers today.
How did you do that?
Well, we, as you know, about 30 days ago, we announced the that we were going to do the ballot question to stop, to prohibit tax dollars for the Olympics. And you know, looks like the USOC has pulled out. And so that would have, you know, saved the taxpayers about $10 billion at least.
Is that something? Do you feel that, Mayor Marty Walsh heard and saw the action of the folks who don't want to see tax dollars put towards this and didn't like the pressure that was put upon him to sign off on it?
Actually, the inside deal is that, as you saw last week on Friday, the Boston 2024 announced, you know, gave out those documents. It was clear that they didn't want a ballot question against them. They talked about all the different tactics that they would do to kill a ballot question, including that they also lied to the USOC, saying that it would cost $1 million to do a ballot question. And then we came on board, and clearly, you know, the last ballot question we did for $97,000. And so, you know, I think they were caught between a rock and a hard place, and we formally filed with the Attorney General's office early to let them know that we were serious about this. At the end of the day, I think what Marty Walsh did was he got out in front of this thing because he saw it was going south, and so he didn't want to be backpedaling. I think he wanted to be leading.
Have you had a chance to see any of the other elected officials, any of their comments and what they think of this, or are you just basically celebrating that you're kind of 2-0 right now, correct?
Yeah, we're 2-0, so we're pretty excited. Okay, and we didn't even have to collect one signature, so yeah, we're pretty excited about this. And actually, everybody's like, you know, do we do something else? You know, what do we do? Because we have till August 5th to get something filed. So, you know, we're thinking about that. But we feel really happy that in the past 2 years, we have been able to save the taxpayers over $12 billion. And that's a pretty significant chunk of change, and it was the fiscally right thing to do for the state. So we're very happy about this, and now we're thinking about, well, you know, what else can we do to help our state improve?
Yeah, I gotta say, I read your article in regards to the graduated income tax. Is this something that they're out there that people are out there trying to get signatures for a ballot question? Is this one of the ones that's going to be considered?
Well, my understanding is that they are going to go for constitutional amendment. So what they have to do is collect signatures this fall, and then they've got to get two consecutive votes of the legislature at a constitutional convention to get it on the ballot. So it would be on the ballot in 2018. And I've had a couple calls with people saying, you know, let's fight the grad tax because this is a bad idea. And they're going to sell it as a millionaire's tax, but as you know, it all trickles down to the average person. In Maryland, they did a millionaire's tax, and it didn't work out so well because what millionaires are far more mobile, and they will, you know, they'll move out of state. And what happens is when they don't get enough taxes from those millionaires, they lower the threshold for these things so that you and I get hit with the taxes. In Maryland, 31,000 millionaires moved out of that state, and they lost $1.7 billion in tax revenue out of that state. I mean, it's kind of crazy. At a time when, like, you've got states like North Carolina looking at getting rid of their income tax, to entice people to move there. Our state is like saying, yes, get out, I mean, we're going to tax you more. You move, So, I mean, it's kind of crazy.
And who is pushing this initiative? Is there a set of groups? Is it a set of unions? Who is it?
Yeah, two unions, the SEIU and the Massachusetts Teachers Association. And they want to kind of dedicate the money to education and transportation. But, every time, they say that money is going to get dedicated, it doesn't. I mean, that was one of the biggest debates last year during, repealing automatic gas tax hikes. They kept on saying, well, the money goes directly to the highway fund. It goes to roads and bridges. And we kept on saying, no, about 40% of that money gets diverted. And then as soon as there was a problem with the T, they're saying, because you repealed the gas, lowered the gas tax thing, the MBTA broke. Well, no, the money was never supposed to go to the MBTA. That's gas tax money. That's supposed to go to the highways and to highways and the bridges. And so, you just constantly find out. And I was like, where's my apology when they called me a liar when I said 40% of the money is diverted from the highway fund to other projects? I mean, a lot of the money goes to bike paths. So, we're building bike paths, but we're not taking care of our roads. I mean, it's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on in state government.
Again, we're speaking with the Boston Herald's Holly Robichaud. Kind of following up on what you were saying there. Let's not forget, you talk about it, the money supposedly being diverted for transportation. If it wasn't for the harsh winter we saw, would we have ever found out that the T kind of had a big piggy bank?
I don't think we would have ever found out. I don't think we would have ever found out. The other thing I'll have to say, though, is when we were doing the gas tax initiative petition, we had a lot of whistleblowers telling us about problems, over at the, at the MBTA and different agencies and stuff like that. And it was very hard for us to get out all of the stories. We're still working on the issues. For example, one of the things that came out is we found out that, the Department of Transportation self-audits. Now, that's kind of crazy. That you've got these agencies that are spending, tons and tons of money on road work and that there's no real oversight because they self-audit. And then when they self-audit, they're not following through on their audits. They'll say, we found a problem, but then they never do anything about it. So we found that problem going on. We knew that there was a lot of problems over at the MBTA. In fact, during the snowstorm, we had a whistleblower call us and tell us about that one of the reasons why they could never get ahead of the snow on the MBTA is because the former manager pulled in the people that do the shoveling 16 hours before the snowstorm started. So they all, and a worker can only work for 16 hours, so they all sat around for 16 hours and then they timed out and then the snow started falling. And so they could never get ahead of it. So, it's just a lot of crazy stuff on there. And so, that's why, we've been fighting for fiscal accountability.
And just to clarify, when I said that the T has a big piggy bank, in your article, you outline that the T had a little over $2 billion in unspent funds, not to mention that, according to the Pioneer Institute, there was the T had been wasting money when it came to bus maintenance, almost a quarter of a billion dollars.
Yeah, Pioneer Institute did a report saying one were the fourth highest costing bus maintenance program in the entire country, and yet we don't have the fourth best service. And they estimate that over $250 million is wasted just within the bus maintenance program. And just some of the, there's some really, how many inspectors. I mean, it's almost like one inspector for every bus. Just crazy stuff like that. And then, the governor's oversight committee on the T found that they had $2.2 billion on money that they could spend that had been authorized to be spent, that they could spend on maintenance and improving the maintenance, and they hadn't spent it. And yet they'll be the first ones to say that they need more money. Well, if you got $2 billion sitting in an account and you don't use it, I'm not thinking you really need more money. I don't know.
What's the suggestion? I get that, from time to time, we need revenues to take care of things. Is it a matter of just making sure that oversight of what we are putting in is proper? I mean, we saw, what, a $38 billion budget signed by the governor. Is it a matter of making sure that the money that is being put in for a fiscal year is being properly spent? Should we look at zero-based budgeting in order to, you know, find out where all the money is going?
I think you've got to at this point. Our state government has grown so big that you need to, you know, you need to, you know, really kind of take a deep, hard look. I mean, it was surprising to find out that, you know, who would have thought that transportation self-audits and that the auditor doesn't audit the transportation department? So that's kind of crazy. You also find out that, look, you know, that the state of Massachusetts spends $675,000 per mile per year on road maintenance. Now, that's pretty hefty. Mm. On top of that, you know, we spend about $78,000 each mile in the state of Massachusetts per year on administrative costs. So basically, you've got a, you know, paid salary person for every road mile making us $78,000 a year. That's kind of crazy.
Mm.
That says to me that there's plenty of room to pave our roads and bridges and do right with the money.
Is there anybody up on Beacon Hill who might support such an effort, who might back this, put their name on it, or is everybody kind of just laying in the weeds right now?
Well, I think you know a friend of mine, Representative Jeff Dio, who's been trying to expose a lot of these problems, since we started doing the ballot question. And so he's been doing the Real Deal report and trying to get as much information out to the voters. And we feel that the more educated people are, the more that they will demand reforms. Because, you know, I mean, so many times they're being told that they need to pay higher taxes. And we feel that the more educated they are about where their tax dollars are going and how there needs to be more oversight, the better, you know, the less likely they're going to get the tax money. We know if they get the tax money, they're not going to spend it wisely. On top of it, and let me also say, you know, Kevin, we have also, the state of Massachusetts has a $400 million surplus this year so far. So for, you know, for people to be saying, oh, we got to raise this tax or raise that tax, actually we have a surplus. We really don't need to be raising taxes. It's time to be frugal with those tax dollars we have.
Well, with isn't it monthly? It changes. It depends, because I know this past month that we saw there was a surplus, and I think most of the time that goes into the general fund. Does it not general fund, but doesn't that go into the rainy day fund?
A lot of it goes into the rainy day fund.
Or a supplemental budget, maybe, like, oh, well, let's, at least we know with the old administration, that was kind of the way things worked.
Yeah, there's a supplemental budget that's going to be coming up this week in the House. I'm not sure if I don't think it's that much money. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of corrective language in there. On, you know, changing certain kind of little policies here and there. I don't think, you know, it's big money. But overall, look, you know, $400 million is a pretty hefty surplus for the state to have. And I think, you know, I think it will see somewhat continue. And that means that, the state's in pretty good shape going forward to making, you know, meeting the budget for this year. So they don't need to raise taxes. They really don't.
And as far as with the grad tax, isn't this something that the administration that's currently in the White House has talked about from time to time also?
I guess the Obama administration has talked about that, but it's, you know, it seems like, you know, we would be penalizing the people. The harder you work, the more we're going to take out of your paycheck, and that just seems. That seems wrong. I think we should be encouraging people to work and have a, you know, a job and stuff like that, not discouraging them by saying the more you work, the more we're going to take away from you.
Anything you want to say in closing in regards to your article today in the Herald and the grad tax?
I think people should, you know, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, it's only going to affect millionaires. It will trickle down. Okay, so beware, you know, of sheep, wolves and sheep clothing on that one. It's a pretty scary thing.
I guess I want to kind of, while I have you for a couple of seconds, because you're not somebody who just has the local focus. You're somebody who watches what goes on nationally. Any thoughts as to the ever-growing field of Republicans who are announcing that they're running for candidate, running for president in 2016?
I think we should have a contest if you can name them all.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, I mean, like, you know, the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you know, you could, you know, you could, you know, can I name all seven? You know, I mean, at this point, what are we up to, 16 candidates?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's an enormous list of candidates and an impressive list of candidates. And I think it speaks well of the Republican Party that we have such a great back, you know, we have such a great bench of people that could be president of the United States. For the most part, I like all of them. And, you know, this weekend there was a barbecue at my house and we were all sitting around saying, you know, it's hard to choose which one would be the best one for us. You know, and they like all of them. I mean, there's only a few where we go, you know, not so much. But other than that, everybody, you know, they, you know, you've got, you know, Ted Cruz on there. He's great. You've got Governor Walker on there. You got Carly running. I mean, there's just so many great candidates.
Don't forget the Donald.
Donald.
Yep. I mean, Donald's out there firing both howitzers at right now. Anybody who looks at him, he's.
I know. Well, he's bringing some life to the to a dull primary right now. So. We'll see how he does on the debates.
What do you feel that he's doing? What saying the things that he's saying? Is it that he doesn't feel he has anything to lose?
Well, he can say whatever he wants because he's not, you know, he's never going to get a call from a donor and say, hey, you shouldn't do that. You know, my business depends on this or that. I mean, so he's got the freedom to say that. I also think that, you know, I think he's saying a lot of things that people are sick of. I mean, I loved the question last week when, you know, some reporter was asking him some, you know, really kind of stupid question, and he turned around and said, well, you know, he said something like, well, you're done with that question. The reporter says, no, I'm not finished with my question. He goes, yes, you are. And it's kind of a great moment. So I think Donald Trump, you know, kind of speaking plainly, talking, you know, to people on a regular level, I think they like that, okay, instead of the hedging, you know, on certain answers and giving you the political spin on it. So I think that's somewhat of the reason why he's catching on. Whether it has a lasting effect, I'm not sure, because it might get real old.
Mm. And it's way too early to say anything, but, I mean, he is ahead in the polls at the moment.
He is ahead for right now. I think the debate will be key and coming up next week to see how he does. Look, if I was advising Donald Trump, okay, I'd say, you know, you got a great start, you're ahead, but go put some meat on the bones. Come out with some proposals. Come out with some legitimate things that you're going to do. I know, you know, he's saying he's going to do these things, but come out with a real, like, 10-point plan on fighting illegal immigration. Come out with a 10-point plan on, you know, on how you're going to improve the economy. Come out with and put some meat on that bones, and then I think he'll have a real campaign.
Now, I couldn't let you go without you at least taking your concerns regarding what's going on with Hillary. It seems as though the more we find out about emails and how she was using her personal email account, is this something that could hinder her for her chance at the Democratic nomination, or do you think that she's going to be the odds-on favorite?
Well, you know, I mean, Bill Clinton has been infamous, you know, he's been able to get away with every scandal there has ever been surrounding him. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Hillary has not been able to get away with these things. And she just doesn't have the same likability factor as Bill Clinton. Right. So I wouldn't say she's 100% by any means. I think people are still shopping around. You see Bernie Sanders getting huge crowds. And it's because, you know, they're not thrilled with Hillary Clinton as a candidate.
Are you surprised that Joe Biden hasn't jumped in or decided that he wants to run for president now that he's, you know, been part of this administration for two terms?
Rumor has it he's going to jump in soon. He's thinking about doing it. So, I mean, I look forward to he will make for some great columns for me. It'll make my life a lot easier.
Holly, we thank you for joining us. Anything you want to say in closing?
Nope, that's it.
There she is, Boston Herald's Holly Robichaud, joining us from time to time. We thank you very much, Holly.
All righty. Thank you.
You got it. We're going to step aside when we come back. Weymouth Mayor, Sue Kang, right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.